last word on business.
With Forvis Mazars. Global expertise with local vision. Offices in Dublin, Galway, Limerick, and now open in Cork.
Ian Guider from the Business Post is with us. And Ian, Britain had its budget today, the first under the Labour Chancellor of the Exchequer, first opportunity for Labour since back in 2009. Given that they've inherited an exceptionally difficult economic position from the Tories, what was significant in it?
Evening, Matt. Well, Rachel Reeves, the Chancellor, outlined a way to try and kickstart the British economy, which has really been struggling in the last couple of years. There was a lot of sting in the tail for ordinary people out there because the rate of tax that employers pay, they call it national insurance, is the equivalent of PRSI. That is shooting up, which many small firms say will lead them to cut jobs. In total, Britain's government, new government, is trying to raise around £40 billion in taxes, and that's to pay for future investment. And that was the theme throughout the budget of Rachel Reeves, was to try to invest in the country to get the economy growing. So while some businesses will pay more, she didn't tackle the wealthiest people out there, because corporation tax is staying the same. It's higher than our rate at 25%, but she told companies that won't be increasing. There was a little bit of an increase for what they call capital gains tax on private equity deals. So big fund managers over in the City of London, if they make profits on selling companies and they get a share of it, that's going up by a little bit, but not by a huge amount. And I think she was trying to strike that balance between raising enough money in taxes to fund public services, fund transport gains, all of the type of things that you would do, kickstart house building, invest in higher education, all the things you do to grow the economy, but try not to get rid of the big investors in the UK. And I think just about hit that mark today, because we do remember the mad budget from a couple of years ago by Liz Truss, which sank the pound and sank the British economy. Markets today reacted pretty much okay to that. The sterling rate didn't really change a whole lot. So that will be seen as a successful budget. A couple of people who may be happy here in Ireland with it, Paddy Power, they were threatened with the big increase in betting duty a couple of weeks ago. That didn't happen. Although Michael O'Leary is one of the losers from it, because the UK have a tax on short-haul flights that people pay, and it's going up by around £2 for each person.
Is there anything for Ireland to worry about in that it might make British business more competitive against Ireland? Because I know something that you and I have both been writing about in the Business Post is that there has been an effort by the British to get more foreign direct investment in, which could be at our expense.
Yeah, ideally, they would have loved to have cut corporation tax rates, but they haven't been able to do it. But by freezing it at 25%, even though it's way higher than our rate, it's still pretty competitive by European standards. So we're not going to lose business to any of the big European economies. It's not going to tempt a huge amount of people that would have come here. But what they are doing in Britain, Matt, and I've written about this, is they're trying to be friendly to international investors by saying, look, come to Britain. We are, of course, going to have to deal with their public finances, but they are saying all of the friendly things to businesses, getting skills, getting more people back into the workforce, making sure that higher education is funded, and also investing in infrastructure. One of the big things announced today was that they're going to complete the high-speed rail line between London and the northeast and northwest of the country, and that is seen as something that will be very popular with investors who can perhaps build factories and data centres in the northeast of London and get back to their main offices in the city.
Of course, if they're going to be building infrastructure, it's going to need construction workers. And that's a very interesting report the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council brought out today, suggesting that if we're going to build all the things that we need, and even beyond houses, infrastructure, we're going to need about 80,000 construction workers, and we only have about half of them.
Yeah, and that report by IFAC, and that's looking at things like electricity, transport, health and education. And they do point out one other interesting fact in there, Matt. Look, we're not going to be able to find 80,000 people to come to Ireland and take up jobs in construction straight away, because, of course, we couldn't even house them. But they even point out that the productivity of our workers here in construction, it's way below what it should be. It's about 30% below the European average. And that's because we're still using a lot of outdated methods for building things. Lots of countries, Matt, don't build things on a building site. They're manufactured off-site much, much quicker and then simply put together on a building site. And what IFAC are saying is if we could close that gap, if we could get more productivity, build things things like houses and infrastructure off-site and then put it together, you might only need around 20,000 workers. Or there's one other way to get people, to incentivize people to build the things we need them to build, and that is to redirect investment away from one area and put it into another. So we have people building commercial properties across the country, even though office take-up is quite low. Why not disincentivize people to build offices and incentivize them to build the things we actually need?
Okay, Ian Guider from the Business Post, thank you very much for being with us this evening.
The Last Word on Today FM.